Watcher, and a very warm welcome to this week's The Real Enjoyment of Jazz with me, Mike Wem. And we're going to start with that other new Resonance record album of previously unreleased material. This week, it's Wes Montgomery. Yep, So What? fabulous double CD of previously unreleased Wes Montgomery songs. Thank you so much, Resonance Records, complete with a 44-page booklet. The album is called Back on Indiana Avenue, the Carol DeCamp recordings. DeCamp is a pianist and arranger, and one of his colleagues made these recordings in the late 50s, some at Wes's house. No one knows the date or location or even band members on each song, but Resonance's research, arduous research, there being no documentation at all on DeCamp's tapes whatsoever. Anyway, their research allowed them to make educated guesses. It's certainly a quartet, Wes guitar obviously, and either Carl Perkins or brother Buddy Montgomery piano, brother Monk Montgomery or Mingo Jones bass, and Paul Parker or Sonny Johnson drums. Maybe. We do of course know that that was the Miles Davis compo So What? Miles first recorded it in March 59, and the LP that it came out on, Kind of Blue, released August 59, so this is likely to have been recorded very late 59. I'm going to let Cannibal Adderley intro the next song.
We're going to play a tune now that I just thought about playing. You see, this afternoon we had an opportunity to play for a lot of young people at the youth center under the supervision of the King County Juvenile Court, you know. It's kind of an interesting thing, though, because a lot of kids are not sure about where they belong. And some of us sometimes share that feeling. You know, we're not quite convinced. So we're going to play this beautiful tune written by Leonard Bernstein, because I've been thinking a bit about that. It's called There's a Place for Us. Somewhere. Somewhere. Thank you.
Somewhere, the Cannonball Adderley Quintet, live at the Penthouse in Seattle. And this was broadcast live on DJ Jim Wilkie's weekly King FM radio programme. Luckily, Wilkie kept tapes of all these broadcasts, and a newly formed label, Reel to Reel, double E in the first reel, EA in the second. Anyway, together with the aforementioned Resonance Records, they will hopefully be releasing many more of these previously unreleased recordings. On Somewhere, Brother Nat Adderley sat out. Joe Zawinul piano, Victor Gaskin bass, Roy McCurdy drums. That was either a June 66 or October 67 broadcast, and it's on a fabulous deep groove double LP called Swinging in Seattle. Cannonball's opening comments of over 50 years ago suggest we've learned nothing. Young people still don't feel they belong, and then we wonder why there's a problem. Here's a vocal by Bev Kelly.
Love locked out in all the cold rain. Love locked out will never ever come again. Love locked out and weeping bitter tears. No one ever hears love calling. Though we need the precious gift it brings, we don't heed the song of love it sings. On the door love beats its tiny wings. It's love locked out. A world without love is a world without life. A sad world, so full of gloom. So please make a place there for love in your heart. It really doesn't need much room. Love is so well worth waiting for. When it comes a knocking at your door, fling it wide. Love locked out will come no more. waiting for. When it comes a knocking at your door, please fling it wide, for love, love now will come. No.
Yes, a crackly old Riverside LP, I'm afraid. Recorded October 59 in New York City. That was the title track, Love Locked Out. The singer, Bev Kelly, was trained in classical piano and then classical voice, and she got a voice scholarship to Cincinnati's Conservatory of Music. She made a couple of well-regarded LPs with pianist Pat Moran, and then a couple herself as a leader, this being one of them. But in 61, when still only 27 years old, she left the music business to raise her son, and she wrote music and poetry and became a professional photographer. She came back to music in 66, but only part-time, and later retrained as a psychotherapist. Harry Sweet's Edison trumpet, Jimmy Jones piano, Kenny Burrell guitar, Milt the Judge Hinton bass, and Johnny Cresci drums. Here's a piano bass duo, and a pianist I've never heard of until I came across this Reverence Recordings LP. Moscow-born Andrei Kitaev, piano, with Oakland, California-born Bill Douglas, bass, recorded at Royce Hall, UCLA, June 78. Kitaev came from a very classically musical family. Sister, mother, aunt, grandmother were all classical concert pianists, and the young Andrei was playing piano from the age of six. At 13, he heard a 45-minute jazz program on Voice of America. And that was it. Jazz was to be his life. Well, not quite. Jazz was banned in the Soviet Union in those days, and he had to agree to not play that, quote, bastard sound from the West, or risk being expelled from his music college. In 1978, he moved to the US, and this album, First Takes, was recorded later that year. His first recording as a leader, obviously. This next song continues our classical theme. Well, it overdoes it, actually, as this is way, way off piste. It's not jazz at all, but it is trumpeter extraordinaire Wynton Marsalis, so hopefully that's allowed. Oh, and by the way, it's short. Short, yes, sweet, most certainly. Handel's tribute to Queen Anne. Many composers created pieces to honour the reigning monarchs. Can't have done them any harm, can it? Eternal source of light divine, with double warmth thy beams display, and with distinguished glory shine to add lustre to this day. The day being Queen Anne's birthday. Wynton Marsalis trumpet with the English Chamber Orchestra and soprano Editha Gruberova. Wonderful, but back to the real thing. It's Ellington.
Thank you.
and yet another song from Duke Ellington's stockpile, released on Volume 3 of the so-called Private Collection CDs, and this one recorded in New York, July 62. That was G for Groove, sometimes referred to as simply G, others as Groove, which is most certainly odd, given that it was only ever recorded this once, and yet it had two alternate titles. Paul Gonsalves on tenor and the trombone section of, wait for it, the majestic Lawrence Brown, Britt Woodman, Chuck Connors, Buster Cooper. They were the main stars. And apparently it was dawn when the musos left the studio on this occasion. Another vocal, another fabulous vocal.
Thank you.
A couple of weeks back, I played you something by singer Rachel Caswell, on which she was helped by her sister Sarah on violin. Well, this is a recording session under Sarah's name, with, inevitably, Rachel helping out. The gorgeous traditional song Shenandoah has never been performed better, in my opinion, than this June 2004 recording in Nashville, Indiana, not Tennessee. Sarah violin, Rachel an amazing wordless vocal. I'm not sure I've ever heard a wordless version of Shenandoah before. Lynn Ariel piano, Larry Kohut bass and Steve Davis drums. Simple, sparse, wonderful. Contender for my desert island list. Dewey Square is next. The leader here is Jimmy Heath, and he swaps between soprano and tenor sax. Tommy Flanagan, piano. Tony Peroni, guitar. Sounds like a song title. Rufus Reed, bass. Al Foster, drums. From a landmark LP, engineered by Rudy Van Gelder, in June 85 and called New Picture. Jimmy Heath's previous LP had been titled Picture of Heath. So some logic in the titling, even though there was a 10-year gap between them, during which time Jimmy joined with his brothers Percy and Tootie and formed the Heath Brothers. That was the Charlie Parker compo, Dewey Square, I assume the one in Boston on Atlantic Avenue. Here's the Hammond B3 and a song you know well. Yes, Carol King's song, although most associated with her friend James Taylor, You've Got a Friend. Didn't play you all of it, I'm afraid. A long track. The leader and on the Hammond B3 is Dave Brahm. We have featured him as a sideman before, but never as a leader before this. Vinnie Corao, guitar. Warren Vacher, cornet. Bill Easley, tenor. Greg Bufford, drums. Diego Lopez, congas. Dave Brahm knew that the Hammond B3 was to be his life by the time he was 16. He'd heard all the great jazz organists on record and had seen live Groove Holmes, brother Jack McDuff and Gene Ludwig by that age. Not bad for a 16-year-old. The next song is called Trudging. trudging, defined as a laborious or difficult walk, synonymous with plod, tramp, plough, slog, toil, trek, drake, clump, clomp, lumber, trog, galump, yomp, sprawkle, which is all of no interest to you, of course, or me, really. Of more relevance is that this was recorded in Chicago at The Loft, September 2018. The guitarist and leader is Julian Large. The Mac Avenue album is called Love Hurts. Jorge Roda, bass, Dave King, drums. And Trudging is a Jimmy Giuffre compo. Piano solo by Keith Jarrett is next. From a 3-CD ECM box set and called Paris London Testament. One concert in Paris and one in London, late November, early December 2008. The Paris concert had parts 1 to 8 of the Testament. The London concert, which covers 2 CDs worth, is all 12 parts. And we've just heard part 9. So yes, the one at the Royal Festival Hall, London. In the 2 days between the Paris and London gigs, Keith Jarrett came, in his own words, very close to a nervous breakdown, and that feeling lasted right up until he was coaxed onto the stage in London. But then it became, again in his own words, a throbbing, never-to-be-repeated, pulsing rock band of a concert, unquote. And he needed heat treatment on his arms afterwards for the first time ever. I've deliberately saved this next one to be our last, largely because it's a long, long track, and we're only going to hear about a third of it. It's a pop song that's been covered by jazzers many, many times. A seemingly unlikely vehicle for a jazz interpretation, but every version I've ever heard works well. This version is under the leadership of Harry Sweets Edison on trumpet, Jerome Richardson tenor, Jimmy Rolls piano, Ray Brown bass, Larry Bunker drums, who almost turns it into a drum solo. Recorded live at the Baked Potato in LA, 75. It's Ode to Billy Joe, and it's the title song on this Phillips LP, written by Bobby Gentry, and strangely, not that big a hit for her back in 67. Apologies for having to fade that out, but hope you've had fun this week, and equally hope you'll be back with me, Mike Wynn, next week for another The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please, take care, be well.